Today, my top DFA shows of 2023. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, it's that time of year and the numbers are now in. So today I'm going to review the performance of our channel over the last year and specifically highlight the top 10 most watched shows. And by the way, we've now got 3,600 and something in the archive, so there's plenty to choose from. Now, of course, this year was disruptive because I was off air while I relocated the studio and waited for my gear to arrive. Then I spent considerable time setting up again, so full production was not possible between March and July. But nevertheless, we're now back to normal, and that said, we got more than 2.5 million views on the channel last year, which translated to more than 477,000 watched hours, and the net lift in subscribers to 65,553. So if you subscribed, thanks very much. If you haven't subscribed, now's your opportunity. Now, I do want to thank you all for being part of the DFA community, for watching our shows and supporting us by subscribing, liking the shows and sharing them widely. It's greatly appreciated. I also want to celebrate the momentum we've created together, especially around some of our campaigns, most notably addressing the issue of bank branch closures and the need to be able to access cash. But now, here are the most popular 10 shows this past year based on view counts. Now, in 10th place was my show with Tarek Brooker from August the 18th called Well, We'll Cover As Much As We Can. And of course, Tarek comes on every other week or so to share his thoughts and his slides, and always well represented in terms of views. In 9th place was a show entitled Property Investors Are Quitting Like Lemmings. That's from October the 15th, and that was where I reprised some of my research, which showed that in some suburbs, particularly in Melbourne, by the way, property investors were exiting because the net rental yields, which of course is the important bit of how you measure the performance of investment property, were actually close to or underwater. And in fact, more than 60% of property investors are now losing money on a cash flow basis. So without capital appreciation, those investments are not performing. Now, next was the show from the 29th of June entitled When the Property Wheels Fall Off. And this is, again, looking at our surveys and specifically the intersection between high costs of living, high interest rate costs, of course, with the RBA lifting rates, and the problem of tax takes, which is through the roof. As a result, households are definitely going backwards. And in some cases, we're now seeing some people forced to sell properties they purchased just a year or two ago. I think this will be a recurring theme over the next few months. Now, in 7th place was a show called Mortgage Cliff Crashes into Rising House Prices, published on the 30th of May. And there we looked at how the switch from fixed rates to variable rates was impacting house prices. Of course, we had a fall in prices and then a bit of a return and a rise over the year. So in fact, CoreLogic says that prices are now up about 8% on average, whereas the previous year they were down 4.9%. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But back there in May, the prediction that we made was that there would be some impact from this switch, but not necessarily immediately. Seems to be playing out. The next show, which actually is one from 2020, called Down the Rabbit Hole Part 1. Now, that was a philosophical discussion that I had with my friend George about how we know what is real and what is true. And of course, although it's a little old now, the themes that we explored are totally on point, given what's happening with social media, given what's happening with politicians and what they are and not saying. And more broadly, of course, how do we know? In fact, of course, it's a really important and deep discussion. So it's interesting that although it was made in 2020, it was in the top 10 list this past year too. Now, in 5th place was my show from March the 10th called Banking Crisis Incoming. And this, of course, was all to do with the Silicon Valley Bank failure. The S&P 500's bank index finished around 6.6% down after hitting its lowest level since last October. And that was the biggest one-day drop over 2 years, and that was as investors fled the sector after the tech industry lender SVB Financial Group launched a share sale to shore its balance sheet due to declining deposits from startups struggling for funding. And SVB, of course, battled a cash burn due to declining deposits from startups struggling with a venture capital funding drought. The slump in SVB further soured the sentiment on banking stocks, which were pressurized by a deep inversion in the Treasury yield curve and possibly a harbinger of a recession. And the point here was this was the low point in the year, specifically for bank stocks. And it's interesting that now things have recovered somewhat, but there are probably more than 500 banks in the US, smaller banks mainly, who are still potentially on the precipice. Now, fourth was a show entitled The Bank of Mum and Dad Goes Pop. That's from March the 19th. And that was using the data from our surveys, and it showed that the number and proportion of first-time buyers seeking help from parents via the Bank of Mum and Dad fell fast. Not only are the new volumes down, but as we know, the Bank of Mum and Dad loans are at greater risk in a rising rate environment. And in fact, Bank of Mum and Dad borrowers are about three times more likely to default. If you look carefully, some of the recent forced sales have been supported by those Bank of Mum and Dad loans. But also it's interesting to note that since then, the Bank of Mum and Dad has bounced back. And that's, of course, because home prices started to accelerate again. Nevertheless, the number of first-time buyers active is still somewhat lower than we've seen historically. Now, in third place was another Tarek Brooker show called A Truly Historic Moment. That's from July the 7th, and at the point where the US two-year bond hit 5% for the first time. Of course, this was a massive year relating to the performance of bonds. We ran up above 5%, and now we've come back down again. Although interesting, in the first day or so of this new year, bond yields are a little higher again. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, the runner-up in the top 10 was When Big Australia Busts Housing, and that's from April the 12th. Now, that was where I discussed the current government strategy around migration and its rise to all-time highs, which I argued would put more pressure on the already unbalanced housing market. Big Australia leads to pressure on infrastructure and the need for more homes to be built, but of course, it may well also put a floor on potential home prices. As a result, it's likely the government will be responsible for a further spiral down in housing affordability and even rising rents. Migration, I argued, should be slowed. I still believe that to be the case. And of course, later in the year, they did come out with some tweaks, but mostly around students. But this Big Australia problem and the lack of housing supply is one of the key reasons why property prices potentially do have a floor under them at the moment. And the most popular show this past year was one from August the 27th called BRICS Plus and the Fate of the US Dollar. Now, of course, that was when the 15th summit of BRICS countries just concluded in South Africa. The summit broke up with BRICS enlarging their membership roster. And this enlarged group would represent about half of global output by 2040. That's double the share of the Group of Seven, a reversal from the turn of this century. Now, some of the US's biggest Middle Eastern allies, including the world's biggest oil exporter, are actually moving closer into the orbit of China and Russia, further complicating geopolitics, upended by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and Saudi Arabia. The United Arab Emirates and Egypt are all now members of the BRICS group. Now, what is fascinating about this is that the move is really part of a push by leaders of the BRICS nations, including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, to increase their influence and counter US power over the global economy and trade, including through the role of the US dollar. And it also signals the determination of Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Egypt to bolster their status as mid-sized powers while avoiding taking sides in a world increasingly split between Washington and Beijing. And of course, we also discussed whether the US dollar is set for a fall ahead. Of course, it is the main currency for trade, And if that does change, it could mark a significant change in the world weather. Politically speaking, it's interesting to note that the US dollar has drifted back down a bit through the end of the year. Now, a few observations worth making, I think. None of these were my live shows, which generally run each Tuesday evening. And I'm not concerned about that because generally live events tend to do less well on YouTube compared with recorded shows. But the great positive of live is the audience participation, which is key to building and nourishing the community. So a quick word of thanks to all those who turn out regularly to support my live events, and I'll continue to run them through 2024. And if you stand back, it's clear that housing-related shows rate well, as do those regular chats with Tarek and his slides, and also some of the more philosophical shows such as Down the Rabbit Hole and the Brexit discussion, they also did well. So if you've got thoughts about what you'd like me to cover through 2024, or indeed suggestions for additional guests to bring on, put them in the comments below and I'll take them on board as I plan my schedule for this coming year. I've got a number of items already in the works, and I also will have some additional guests coming through as well. But I am going to focus very much on those core areas, because of course the discussion now is going to be how housing plays out, what some of the government policy responses need to be, and also we'll continue to lobby for some of those critical issues that I discussed in an earlier show. And it's important that we don't lose sight of the fact that we collectively have a very significant voice that can influence politics and influence decisions. That, of course, is partly what DFA is about. So thanks to each of you for watching my shows. Please do like and subscribe. And also do turn on notifications so that you are alerted when shows are released. I'll continue to release shows daily. And in fact, we may do a little bit more than that because there's so much to talk about. I think 2024 will be, well, an interesting year at best, but it could be quite chaotic as well. So thanks again for watching, and I'll look forward to bringing you more information, more news, more insight, and hopefully a bit of humour too. This is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time. And of course, the dogs also send their best wishes to each of you.